ask an interest in your prayers this morning for the time that I'll stand before you. I woke up this morning, didn't really have anything on my mind on the way here. A verse come to my mind that's kind of grown on me, so y'all pray for me for the time I'll stand before you. If you have your Bibles, if you would, turn to Psalms 115. Psalms 115 starts off in this way, and it's very important for us to, I don't know if that was too loud for y'all, but it was too loud for me, so I just moved there. Very important for us to understand this and consider what is said here. It says, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Not unto us, but unto thy name." Brethren, we are blessed to bear about a name above every other name. There's no greater name under heaven whereby we must be named other than that of Jesus Christ. And we are the bride of Christ, we are the brethren of Christ, and we are the adopted brothers and sisters of Christ. I mean, we're kin in any way you can be kin on this planet. There's only three ways I know to be kin. You marry somebody, you can be adopted into their family, or you can be born into their family. And praise God, He got us all three. That's good news. But there's no greater name than this name. And He says, not unto us. And that's the deal, as Brother Daniel praying, he said, if we could just be like little kids, you know. Little kids don't care who hits or who gets on or who crosses the plate. They just know when the team wins. When I was a kid, you got to go to Dairy Queen. It was actually Starks back then. And you get the Sunday, man. That's what you want to do. All y'all won, you get to go get the Sunday. And it didn't matter who hit the dinger or who scored or who had an RBI. Everybody was, it wasn't about you. It was about the team as a whole. And I'm going to tell you that the church is the exact same way. It's not about us. Nothing that we do should be about us. It's not to lift us up. It's not to lift the flesh up. There's one that lifted up the flesh. He lifted up to destroy it so that we might be delivered. And that's the only flesh that needs to be lifted up. The rest of it needs to be abased. And I'm going to tell you, we need to be careful that we don't puff up in the flesh because the Lord's able to abase. So we don't want to do that. Pride goeth before the fall. We don't want to do those things. Not unto us, O Lord. Not unto us, O Lord. Not unto us. But unto thy name give glory. And then he says, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. I'm going to tell you that God, I hear people say this all the time, God's not obligated to bless us. He's only obligated in the fact that He obligated Himself to bless us. He obligated Himself to watch after us. He obligated Himself to care for us. He obligated Himself to bless us with daily bread. And He does. He still does. And we're still recipients of it. And it's very easy for us to be like those seven women. Say, Lord, we're going to wear our own clothes. And we're going to eat our own food. And we just want to bear about your name. That's not what He's called us to be, brethren. He's called us to a greater service. He's called us to put something ahead of ourselves. He's called us to say, and this is how the Lord says, He said, if any man will follow me, let him take up his cross daily. I'm telling you, there's a crucifying that we need to do on a daily basis. There is something that we need to destroy on a daily basis. And that which needs to be destroyed is this old flesh. Because this flesh will always, I heard people say, oh, just follow your heart. Garbage. Don't do that. You know what the Bible says? The heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Don't follow your heart. Follow the Lord. Your heart will take you in some horrible places. You think about your emotions. If you're driven by emotion, you can be happy one minute, absolutely destroyed the next, and I'm going to tell you, you'll make a shipwreck of your life if you're driven by emotion. You cannot be driven by emotion. You've got to be driven by something. I've said this before, I'll say it again, I've always said this, that preferences always divide a people and principles always unite a people. There are some principles that unite us that the Lord has given unto us. He said, thy word, O Lord, is settled forever. Those principles should unite us as a people. No matter whom the person might be, no matter what the situation might be, the principles of God, because it's not about us. I don't care who you are. The Lord doesn't care who you are. Let me make sure I qualify this statement. What I mean by that is, God's no respecter of persons. He's no respecter of persons. I will tell you this. He is respecter of His work. Because in Christ Jesus you're washed, and though your sins are as crimson, He hath washed us and made us whiter than snow, and we'll stand before Him holy and accepted in the beloved because of the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. But it's not about you. Not unto us, O Lord. Not unto us. We need to remember that from time to time, because we are weak and frail creatures. And many times we put the cares and feelings of the flesh above that which is the Lord said, if you love me, here's an easy way to show it. Keep my commandments. I'm going to tell you, brethren, there's things given to us by God's word that we're to adhere to. Why? Because the Lord loves us. And He gave it to us. And He's preserved His word forever. And we have it. We're a blessed people. Not only has Jesus Christ secured our life, but He's given us something that we can have an abundance of life in. In the church of Jesus Christ, there is an abundance of life for God's children. There is an abundance, there is a feasting that takes place. We get to feast at our Father's table in the presence of our enemies when He comes down and sets the table before us. There is an abundance for us in the church of the living God, the ground and pillar of the truth. Now go back to our text. Let me go back over there for just a moment. What did He say? Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory for Thy mercy and for Thy truth's sake. The truth is important. I'm going to tell you, the preaching of the word of God's grace is important. We're to be established in grace and truth. You know why? Because if you're not, you're blown about by every wind of doctrine. It's important to have something that is the anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and that is Jesus Christ. And brethren, He is anchored within the veil. And because He's anchored within the veil, you and I have this great earnest expectation. That's what hope is. We have this great hope, this sure hope, this more excellent hope, this greater consolation, that where the forerunner has gone, we also shall go. No matter what may come, no matter what things we may face, no matter what things may befall this old terrestrial ball, I'm telling you there's coming a day that we're going home to a place that God has prepared for those that He loves. And the reason that happens is because of His mercy, His truth's sake, because of His love for us, His bride, His brethren, and His adopted brothers and sisters. In Corinthian letter, I want to go over into 2 Corinthians, and I want to grab this and then come back. But not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name. You know, it's a weird thing. I'll bet if you talked to Paul, you'd have probably locked him in a rubber room. He said, when I would do good, He was present with me. I mean, people today, they'd say, well, you need to deserve to be in a rubber room somewhere because you're going to probably be a danger to yourself. But do we not go through that every day? Yes. There is a warfare that takes place with our beings every single day. I remember that old Indian thing. I used to tell the boys, you know, I told them the story of two dogs. I don't know. I wish I would have wrote those stories down. At night, when it was bedtime story, I didn't read a story. I just made a story. And we had this little Indian boy named Two Dogs that we learned about when they were kids. And Two Dogs got into all kind of stuff. But it was just stories that I made up. And we called the little boy Two Dogs. But one of the things about Two Dogs is, I'm going to tell you that when the Lord speaks life into you, there's two natures within you. There's that which is a heavenly nature, which is of the Lord. But you still have this earthly nature, which is the flesh and of Adam. And I will tell you, that the one that you feed is the one that will thrive. And far too many times we feed the flesh. And we wonder why. Why are there times in our life where we're like David and we cry out, Lord, are you clean gone forever? But the whole week we've been feeding the flesh. We feed the flesh and then we wonder why. Well, you know why? For thy truth's sake, O Lord. You know what God said? God's not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You can't plant corn and expect to pick tomatoes. You can't plant one hill of tomatoes and expect to put up 100 bushels of corn. Because if you sow sparingly, guess what? Reap sparingly. You always sow in one season and reap in another season and hope deferred maketh the heart sick. We're a right now kind of people, aren't we? I can find out anything I want to know right now. I got an iPhone. I got a Siri. Somebody's probably thinking, go off. I'm sorry. I got all these things. Alexa. I can ask all these things and I can have anything I want right now. But I'm going to tell you, there's some things in life that don't happen right now. The best things in life are kind of like wine. They take a little time, right? Fine wine, aged wine, that's a fine thing. That takes time for it to make. The things that we have, brethren, they take our investment. They take a sowing, and it's an investment of ourself. And in that, oh, there's a glorious reaping that takes place. But which one we feed, the flesh or the spirit? We got to be very, very careful. Moving forward, over in 2 Corinthians, in the 4th chapter, he says this. I'm just going to skip down to verse 6, okay? Let's just get to meat and potatoes. Verse 6. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. This is amazing. This is the same God, when there was nothing, said, let there be light. And guess what? There was light. This is the same God that spoke the world into existence. This is the same God who just... the fingerwork of God, the vastest expanse of the stars of the heaven, this same God that said, let there be light, has done something for you. This is amazing. The one that said, let there be light, he says, look, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, we're not talking about some little g, we're talking about God, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, he says, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And some say, well, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're this. He said, whom do ye say? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know what he said? Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Let me tell you, the same God who spoke this world into existence and said, let there be light, has spoken into your hearts and revealed something unto you that could not be revealed any other way. That's an amazing thing that has taken place. Do you understand the awesomeness of that? The words fail me. That a failed grasshopper such as us, nothing but dust in the balance, nothing and less than nothing, God who said, let there be light, called you by name. That's amazing when you try to comprehend that. And then you, of course, have to ask the question, why? So there's many times I ask that question. Oh, it's not hard for me to figure out God hated Esau. I can figure that one out. What baffles me is why in the world he'd ever love Jacob. Why would he ever love me? Why would he ever love you? Because I know y'all got the same nature I got. I mean, there's none of us different. We got the same frailties. We got the same faults. We got the same sin. We got the same uprisings and downsets. We're the same. And we fail on a daily basis. Oh, but his mercy. For his mercy and his truth's sake, in blessing thee, I'll bless thee, he told Israel. In blessing thee, I'll bless thee, he told Abraham. Man, I'm going to tell you, because of his truth's sake, the Lord has blessed us abundantly. Because of his word's sake, because he has desired, because of his purpose and his pleasure and his will, he has blessed us beyond measure. So what is the answer to that? We have this treasure. For God, let me back up. Verse 6. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. I'm going to tell you, it's a very... You remember Paul said, I besought the Lord three times he might remove that thorn in the flesh, but he left it. Why? It reminded him of his frailty. Reminded him who we are to ourselves and what we are in Christ Jesus. But we hide this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Boy, that's saying on a daily basis. Last night, me and Doug and Lindsay were sitting up visiting Mom and Dad, Jess, and I'm telling y'all, of course y'all know me, I grew up here. I was a rounder coming up, I got into some things. And I said, that's just testimony of God's power. It's testimony of the mercy of God that He could take somebody like me and call me to preach the gospel. And I tried to get away from it the best I could. I ran as hard as I could. But I'm telling you, that well, man, them things are everywhere. There's some land-dwelling whales around this place. I mean, the Lord put you in a well in the middle of a desert. It's an amazing thing. But we have this treasure in our earthen vessel. The excellence of the power may be of God, not of us. We're troubled. Listen to this. Troubled on every side. Sound familiar? Troubled on every side. Yet not distressed. Let me tell you something, brethren. Christ should be a peace no matter what your circumstance may be. Peace is not the absence of trouble. Peace is the presence of Jesus Christ and His sweet fellowship. I'm going to tell you, I've heard of brethren that were locked up in POW camps that had peace in the midst of that. Why? Because they were fellowshipping with the Lord. There's folks that are on their deathbed that have a peace that passeth all understanding. Why? Not because of their circumstance, but because the Lord was with them. The same God who said, let there be light, has spoken to us and gave us this great expectation of hope. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. You know why they can't destroy us? What can they do? Eat you? Worst they can do. But I want you to know, brethren, that the Lord has bought you. He hath purchased you body, soul, and spirit. And I'll assure you, there is not anything nor nothing that covers everything that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. That's a glorious thing, because we're cast down but not destroyed. But watch this. Always bearing about in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus Christ and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes. Oh, man. All things are for your sakes. That the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, abound to the glory of God. You know, we're told to find contentment in whatever condition or situation we find ourselves. I want you to know you have some of the greatest weapons mankind has ever known of. I'm not talking about armor-piercing rounds. I'm not talking about an atomic bomb. I'm talking about a weapon that is absolutely supernatural. It's not of this world. Over in the 10th chapter of 2 Corinthians, it says this. Verse 3. Still on this tying, this warfare that we have. For though we walk in the flesh, this is very important, we do not war after the flesh. This is important to know. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. And many times that's how we war. We get around And we're talking about all kind of stuff. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. He said, you want to fight a fight? Here's the fight you need to fight. Not in the flesh out there, but right here. Crucify the flesh right here. Cast down any imagination, even within yourself. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. That's what we need to be doing. We need to be hitting our knees and praying, he says, and casting down all imagination and having a readiness to avenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you look after things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. Be careful, brethren, because I'm going to tell you what's amazing is, a lot of times we through the flesh will say, man, they ought to knock every one of them suckers in the head. You know what? The Lord's got a people over there too. I can assure you, brethren, there's one that knows far better how to deal with the goings about of the grasshoppers that make up the inhabitants of this planet than you or I, or anyone sitting in Washington, D.C., or wherever Yahoo is over there. There's one that sits on the throne of glory. I want to go back over, and I'm going to close with this. Get ready. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? A lot of people are going to say that. Oh, where's your God? I remember when 9/11 happened. I remember that in my lifetime, us being attacked in our own land. And everybody said, where's God? Well, one of the greatest things I ever heard, I think it was Billy Graham's son, was being interviewed. He said, wait a minute. You've been trying to get God out of the school and out of the government and out of everything. But now all of a sudden you're worried about where he's at? That's the most amazing thing to me. I'm going to tell you where he is. He's where he's always been. He's sitting on his throne, brethren. And I'm going to tell you that Jesus Christ is the right-handed throne eye, and he is making intercession for you and I right now. And I'm going to tell you, he knows far better how to bless us in our conditions and situations than we can ever come up with. And that's the greatest place to put it. You see, the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. They're not of the flesh. But they're spiritual. And I'm going to tell you, the prayers of the saints are effectual, powerful weapons. And they're precious to God. There are vials in heaven right now that are filled with the saints of God. And they're a sweet-smelling savor unto God. I'm going to tell you, go to war. Not in the flesh, brethren, but I'm going to tell you, the throne of grace bombarding heaven for God's deliverance and blessing in spite of ourselves. Because I'm going to tell you, we're not worthy of the least of His blessings. Yet He, by His purpose, pleasure, and will, hath obligated Himself to keep us as an apple, to never leave us nor forsake us, to hear our cries, make intercessions on our behalf, even when we pray amiss. Isn't that amazing? Now unto Him that can do exceeding abundantly. Oh, that's good stuff right there. But all right. But here's verse 3. I want you to get this one. But our God is in the heavens and hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. I don't know why this morning, brethren, but it's pleased God. The same God that spoke and said, let there be light, has spoke to you and given you the light of His darling Son within your very being. And when He done that, He's proven to you that you'll be with Him for all of eternity. How can we not, even at this very present time, trust that God can still intervene on our behalf in a natural, temporal, timely way while we live here, considering He's given for you and unto you the best that He ever had? What should we render unto Him? Oh, may we praise His matchless name better. May we be found praying without ceasing. And may we lift one another up and bombard glory, that God might intervene. Nevertheless, not our will, but thy will, O Lord. May the Lord bless us, our prayer.